Good morning.
Good morning.
Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians 1, 3 through 9. And if you'd like to follow along, if you please take your pew Bibles and turn to page 166 in the New Testament section. This reading this morning, Paul's letter, he's confirming the importance of anticipating the return of Jesus Christ. And if we stay faithful, God will keep us strong through the very end. So let us all listen together for the word of God. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of our Father.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen. We give thanks. We enter into his presence with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. We sing wonderful pieces of music. We hear lovely instruments. We have young, smiling faces play instruments for us. We're entertained. We feel excited. There's that feeling of anticipation. Today, as we lit the candle of hope, we have a hope and an expectation for those things that we've not seen yet, because faith is the hope for things not yet seen. We will be with our loved ones. We will be with Christ the King. We will be in the presence of God, the Creator and Maker. But that's not happened yet, because we're still here. If you pick up a newspaper, how many do that anymore? There are still a few. If you read a news or hear a news item, there's anybody wanting evidence of the world being insane, all you have to do is listen to the nightly news. But once in a while, some of the stations will carry a bit of happy news, a bit of Christmas cheer. Yesterday morning, from about 9 till 11, there was Christmas cheer spread. We were partnered with Philippi Church yesterday. We didn't have a lot of families. We've had more. But those that did come were greeted. They were told Merry Christmas. Not Happy Holidays. They were told Merry Christmas. They were given food. And throughout this month, the ladies through the soup ministry, and as it draws closer to Christmas, they'll be working on more things, just as they have done in the past. But the point is that we have an opportunity to serve that Christmas cheer. Let us not be weighed down by the news that constantly bombards us with how horrific the world has become. I don't know who coined the phrase, man's inhumanity to man, but it's been around for a couple of decades, if not centuries. So it's nothing new. But what we do have is each and every day an opportunity to look at our fellow man, regardless of culture, regardless of economic background, race or creed, and say Merry Christmas. Or at least say God loves you, or at least express some affirmation to them about them as an individual living with us. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth was not a perfect church, and if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you find out some of the challenges that they had. But first and foremost, they had gotten the Holy Spirit, and it was there, and it was powerful, and it was moving in them, and they started to look at some of the gifts and talents and started to consider some of the gifts and talents as more important, more greatly to be desired. And we know, what does Paul tell us? Faith, hope, and love. And what's the greatest is love. Now, all of the gifts and talents that people have come from whom? God. And we're supposed to be thankful for them. We're supposed to use them judiciously, use our powers of discernment to recognize when to use them, when not to use them. Those people that have the gift of speaking in tongues, they're supposed to hold fast and not give that out unless there's someone there to interpret. Because if you speak in tongues and nobody's there to interpret, you glorify yourself, you edify yourself. But if there's somebody there who can translate, then we glorify God. So Paul starts the letter to the Corinthians. We start off at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now, oftentimes I've walked up and I've said peace and grace. Because I want you to have peace. I want you to have that shalom. The absence of warfare. The absence of anger. The absence of anxiety. I want you to be at peace. But I think as I've read this again and again, the most important thing is to have it in the right order, in grace and peace. Because without the grace that comes from God, there's no opportunity, there's no possibility, there's no way in the world you're going to get peace. Because if you're in the world and you don't have grace, you can't have peace. You might have a time in which there's no conflict or no warfare. But shalom, the peace, as Christ gives, not as the world gives, is a peace, a complete peace. It's a feeling of tranquility. It's a feeling of completeness. That's the peace that we get from God. Now, that's not to say that the peace of God is always, we're Pollyannas, we're walking through fields of flowers and everything's hunky-dory. We're living in the world, right? Okay, so there are going to be some travails. There are going to be some trials. But Paul says, grace to you and peace from God, the Father. We need to focus on where we can get grace and peace. We get it from God. There is no one else. There is nothing else that's going to give us peace and grace. Not a bigger house, faster boat, larger car, shinier car. It's the presence of God. Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. Again, God gives us peace and grace. How does He give it? He gives us through Christ Jesus, and it's Christ Jesus who's in us. As we participate and receive these elements today, this sacrament, this means of grace, then we have the evidence before us. And as we receive, then we have that peace and grace in us. The body, which is given. The blood, which is shed. That's for what? For our peace through His grace. Without His grace, we don't get peace. Without Christ's sacrifice and His blessing, how can we ever attain peace and grace? Because we can't follow the law. We can't earn it. We can't even get through one day without violating one of the laws. And there's a saying, there's a scripture, if you violated one, I think it's in James, if you violated one, you violated them all. A sin is a sin. But think of this, for in every way you have been enriched in Him. In Him. You're enriched. This bread that becomes transformed into the flesh, the body of Christ, which is for your blessing. You've been enriched in Him in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you. What is the testimony of Christ? What is the testimony of Christ? Good news. Christ died for our sins. And as we say in our communion, as we go through and we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and what else? Christ will come again. That's the whole purpose of Advent. Christ will come again. That is our hope. That is our anticipation. That is our expectation. And if we're not excited about that, we're not going to be excited about anything. I only heard one amen. Okay, I'm going to stand up here until I hear at least one more. That's good. And I'm not doing it for accolades, but we need to recognize what this season is about. It is not about more things. It is not about better things. It is not about spending more money. It's not about listening to greater music and having a great time and eating bigger turkeys. Believe me. Or ham. Even if it's a Smithfield ham. What? Now, wait a minute. I'm going to draw the line on those cookies piece. But it's the testimony of Christ. And the testimony of Christ is that Christ came, Christ died. For whom? For us all. Not just for himself, not just because God sent him, but because that's the purpose. But it's out of God's love. That's that grace that gives us peace through Christ Jesus. So that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how long have we been waiting? 2,000 years. You know, the people in the first century church actually believed, really believed, that it was going to happen in their lifetimes. And when in our readings in Thessalonians, we really understand how Paul's trying to address that challenge because he hadn't come. And many of them are passing on. But when we think about how we're going to get through the day and how we're going to persevere and how we're going to keep on keeping on, true strength begins with a knowledge that all we are comes as a result of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Christ yields spiritual fruit, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, and authenticity. These gifts strengthen our hearts and the hearts of our communities. They enable us to do God's work, and they empower us to endure hardship and sorrow. The strength that Jesus gives in these gifts make us supple and unbreakable, not brittle or unyielding. That's the life application topic from Strength in Christ in the Wesley Study Bible. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that, this is in verse 8, so that you are blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I, every one of us, every one of us, Christ Jesus calls us into a relationship. God calls us into a relationship through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit with him, a personal relationship with him. One that will enrich you and empower you and enable you to withstand anything and everything that this world throws at you. And there will be tons of anguish. There will be tons of sorrow. But there will be joy. There will be hope. The world without Christ is a world without hope. The world with Christ is a world with hope. Shalom.